I think this was for me. I'll try to stand here in front of this thing. We have a number of people who are out of town because of the holidays, and I think we also have a number of people who are here because of the holidays, so we're thankful you're here. You're better looking than the group that left, so we're glad to have you in their place, but don't tell them that when they come back. But anyway, we're glad to have all of you here, and I hope that you feel welcome. We're in what we call a journey together, and we're talking about different points, and right now we're focused on inward, which is our life together. We focused on upward, which is our relationship with God, and now we're talking about our relationship with each other. And in doing this, this is a picture that we've had taken, and this is our family here together, and we see it as a family, and and I hope for those who are Christians that you feel that you're part of a family. That's God's intention, that you feel that you're part of his family if you're a Christian and you attend here. And all of you can look and see if you can find yourself there and in the picture. And some of you may be Christians, have become Christians and weren't in that picture because that picture is a little old. And, you know, anytime you take a picture, then it's not very long till it's out of date. But so we have some of you who may be Christians who are part of the family here but aren't in that picture. But the picture is there to remind us that we're a family. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that's our key verse. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And this is on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people became Christians. And this is what they did. As soon as they became Christians, they devoted themselves to these things. And if you look at that verse and if you look at those things, the apostles' teaching is basically the New Testament. All right, and that's what, so if you're reading if you're devoted to reading the New Testament, you're listening, God is speaking to you, okay? How do you build a relationship? Well, you communicate. So when you're reading God's Word, then God is communicating to you. And when you're praying, as that's part of that, then what? You're communicating to God. And so that's how you build a relationship. You want to say, well, I want a stronger relationship with God. Well, read his word and pray. You let him talk to you, you talk to him. And that's if you want a stronger relationship with him, that's how you do it. But if you'll notice, there's also, and that's really the upward element of this, but there's also a horizontal element in this, which is they devote themselves to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And I think the breaking of bread in this particular deal is a reference to the Lord's Supper, which we just participated in, and that's the Greek word for that is actually joint participation, koinonia, and so we did that. And if you think about the things we do together in the church here, we sing, and singing is upward, but it's also Ephesians 5, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. So we are speaking to one another and to God. And so it's both vertical and horizontal. And if you think about that, that's also what the Lord's Supper is. That's all the things that we try to do here together, even our prayer, it's a public prayer, so it's what? It's to each other, and it's also to God. And so all of those things are done here to help us both upward and inward and to build those relationships. But they devoted themselves to these things. They were new Christians, and how are they going to grow? Well, they needed to know. They needed to grow in knowledge, so they were reading God. You know, they needed God's word. They needed a relationship with, grow in that relationship with God, so they're praying, because that was new to some. And they needed to grow in relationship with each other. And you know, when you become a new Christian, it's new, and so you need help to try to grow in that. And you may not be comfortable at first, but babies usually aren't comfortable, I don't think, at first either. But they grow into it. Okay. In Acts 2:41 and 47, we're added by God to his family. That's how you get in his family. God adds you. Nobody votes on you or anything like that. God adds those who are being saved. So in verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. And that's verse 41. And verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So as a person obeys the gospel, is baptized, and has their sins forgiven, then God adds them to his body, to his church, to his family. And all those are synonymous terms there, okay? And sometimes the Bible calls it being born again, and sometimes it calls it that we've been adopted. We have a spiritual adoption by God. And whether you're in a family because you were born into that family physically, or whether you were adopted in that family, as many people here have adopted children, you chose them to be in your family, and they're part of your family. And so God puts us in this family together, and we are his children, his sons and daughters. Okay, if you're a Christian, you're God's son or daughter, and that's important to God, and I hope it's important to you, that you're his child and that you see yourself that way. But if you're in God's family, if God's added you to his family and you're his son or your daughter, and I'm in his family and I'm his son, I'm not his daughter, but I'm his son, okay? Then you automatically become my brothers and sisters, and you become my family. And it's kind of neat because I've been in Russia and El Salvador and Costa Rica and all kinds of countries, and I've got family all over the place. And it's great. And it's very encouraging. And people who will care about me there and wherever I'm at. And that's the neat thing about family, is they care about you where, you know. And so it's a relationship-based body with genuine concern for each other. Now I'm going to read one, two, three, four, five scriptures here, so don't get lost in it. As I read them and I'm going through quickly, just think about what they have in common and what the point that you get out of them. A new command I give you: love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Okay? All of those scriptures, what do they say to you? Did you hear love one another a lot of that in that? Okay? If you didn't, I'm not sure you can see through a ladder, so... But, you know, it's about one another. We love one another, and that's what a family does. It loves each other, okay? And that's what God calls us to do. And he said that's how he can tell if we're his disciples, if we love each other, if we love one another. All right, now, as you in a family, that's how you you grow up. You experience things. You're taught things. See all these things, and that helps you to grow and mature. And you can't do these things. You can't love one another and grow in this love for each other and learn how to do that, because let's face it, we don't always do it well. and we need some help, and we need some examples, and we need a lot of things to help us to do that. And you cannot do those things without being with one another. All right? And so that's there are 55 passages that I believe that are called what we call one another passages in the New Testament. Okay? Love one another, pray for one another, serve one another, speak to one another, greet one another, one another, one another, one another. How do you do that if you're not with one another? Well, you can't do that. Okay? You got to spend time with one another. Okay? And God figured that out because he's smarter than us. And so he had this plan for the church. That's why he has his church, and that's why he died for his church, and that's why he put us together. So we would help each other to become the people that he created us to be. It began in Jerusalem. The church began as we started, and it says, though, I'm going to read verses 41 to 47 if you want to follow it, or you can follow it on the screen like I will. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, they came together and they wanted to spend time with each other. They wanted to be with, because family, if you love each other, you like to be together. You know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of family get-togethers and things over the holidays and things like that. It's a time when families like to get together, okay, when they have a chance. And so God knew that. Now, these people are new, and their circumstances were a little different than ours are, and so they did some things that different because they were kind of stuck out in the middle of nowhere, and their families considered that they were dead when they became Christians, and so they were kind of like, well, now what are we going to do? Okay, and so they helped each other. But the principle is there. They what? Whatever they needed, they provided for each other. And that's what families do. They provide for each other when they have needs. Then the church spread to Samaria, and that's what the book of Acts tells us, how the church spread and grew. And then it went to the Gentile nations and to the whole world. And from that, as Paul went to different places on his missionary journeys, and Barnabas and various people, as they began churches, churches began and spread. And some of them were large churches, like in Jerusalem, and some of them were small congregations. They met in houses. If you'll read the book of Colossians and the book of Philemon, you'll see there are house churches there. Okay, obviously they were much smaller than the church in Jerusalem. But it didn't make any difference where you were at, whether it was a big church or a little church. And sometimes we're kind of spoiled here. You know, they just had a church in Corinth or a church in whatever. And the letters in the New Testament were written to those churches about how to do this and how to do that, and greeting one another and having relationships, and how to have the right kind of relationships. You know, so if church is not important, then what would Paul need to write all those letters? You know, just throw them out. Okay, but he obviously they were important, and how we get along with each other, how we serve God, how we grow, how we help each other grow, is important. Letters were written to churches to instruct and encourage each other. Next one. Says Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All that means is greet one another warmly. In their culture, that's what they did. In our culture, you might hug or you might shake a hand or whatever. But the idea is to let the person know you're glad to see them. All right, and that's the whole point. Let them know that you're glad to see them, and you can usually do that if you're glad to see them. Okay. Because if you're not glad to see them, you'll probably let them know that too. Okay? So, and five times that greet one another with the Holy is in the New Testament. Five times. So I get the idea it's kind of emphasized. You know, and so when we come together, we need to greet one another, let each other know that we're glad to see you. I like the theme song from Cheers, frankly. If you ever saw that show, I know it took place in the bar, which was not, I'm not recommending that, but I like the idea. It says, you want to go where what? Everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. All right. That is the spirit of the church. Okay. They stole it for a bar, and they might be glad because they want your money there, I don't know. But that sentiment, you want to go where everybody knows your name and everybody's glad you came. Okay. That's where we want to go. I went to one of the first churches after we were new Christians. We went to a different town, and we went into this church, and there's about 50 people there. And there were five of us kids and my parents, so seven of us in a little congregation of 50 people. We went in, and nobody spoke to us. I mean, we were there for class. We were there for services. We didn't, run in at the last minute. We didn't run out at the last minute. We were there, and nobody would speak to us. And that's not the picture of the church or the way God wants the church. Okay, and that really discouraged us as new Christians. Fortunately, we got over it, but for some, that could, wipe them out. And so it's very important that when you come, that you feel welcome. And that people, you can tell that people care about each other and that they'll care about you. Okay? And that's the picture of the church. There is an idea in the world of Jesus, yes, but the church, no. The only people who would say that are people who are totally ignorant of the Bible. They don't know what it says. And you can't do any better than you know what to do. But if you don't know the Bible, you might say that. But anybody who's read the Bible in the New Testament can never make that conclusion. Okay? And the idea is, I just want to get what my benefit with God, and then I want to do my thing. I don't want to have to deal with anybody else. I don't want to ever. Well, that's not New Testament Christianity. That's not what God called us to. And He knows what's better, what's best for us, and He wants what's best for us. And that's why that's not His plan. God created the family to help us to grow and mature. When you were born into a family. Okay? And the reason for that is because God created the family, and the reason for that was because He knew that we would need help growing up and maturing. And that's what families are for, to help us grow up and mature. The same thing is true when you become a Christian. When you're born or added by God into His spiritual family, the church, and that's to help you grow up and mature as a Christian. Okay? It's not a complicated process, okay, to understand at least. It might be complicated to do it, but it's not, raising kids is not easy. But that's the concept, and you can get it. If you can understand the family, physical family, you can understand the spiritual family. And so we help each other grow spiritually. Okay? What if a six-year-old, if he says to you, "Well, I've got God and Jesus, I don't need my family," what would you think about that? Well, you think, he was not a very wise young man, is he? Okay? Even if he wouldn't want to be a part of a family, what? He's still part of a family, and he certainly, what? Needs a family, doesn't he? He needs people to care about him, okay? And he needs people to care about. Okay, because that's a basic need that all of us have, is to love and to be loved. Okay, and so God knows that, and He puts us in a family so we will understand and learn about love, and learn how to love one another. Because if you don't love one another, you're not going to love God. Okay, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. And the next one. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Okay? So if you say, well, I love God, all right, well, then do you love your brother and sister? Because if you can't love your brother and sister whom you have seen, you don't really love God whom you haven't seen. Okay? You can say that. You can say the words, but it's meaningless. Okay? And it's the way we learn to love is through our relationships with one another. And so we help each other. We, you know, when you get in trouble, who's going to be there for you? Okay? Who's there for you? Well, if you got any kind of family, their family's there for you. Okay? They're there no matter what, okay, to help you and to get you through it. Okay? Who's going to help you to grow like Christ and be like Christ if that's what you want? And as Christians, that's what we want. Who's going to do that? Is the world going to encourage you to be like Christ? No, they're only people who are what? Interested in being like Christ are going to encourage you. And so that's why we need one another. We need people who are like-minded. You know, we meet people in our assembly. When we come together, we encourage each other. Go ahead to next one. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, our purpose in coming here, when I come to church, I come to encourage people. I don't come to be encouraged. I come to encourage you. But guess what? If you come to encourage others, then what? I get encouraged too, and I always do. Okay? But we come to encourage each other because we're concerned about each other. And so I look for, most of you, I look for you. I want to speak to you. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to hear, and I want to encourage you. And if we're all doing that, then everybody gets encouraged. If you just come here and sit down and say, well, I blessed you with my presence. What are you going to do for me? You know? And you're not trying to encourage anybody, trying to do anything for anybody, then what? Everybody sits around. If everybody does that, everybody's sitting around, nobody's encouraged. But it's so much different when we come to serve each other. And that's what he calls us together for, is to encourage each other. And we do all those things, like I said, in singing and teaching and praying, the Lord's Supper and giving. That's all things for us to be encouraged together with. But Christianity is not limited to a few hours on Sunday. Okay? A lot of times we spend an awful lot of time focused on this couple hours that we spend together here. And I'm glad for it. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't know each other. Okay? And that's important. But I don't know about you, but I need encouragement every day, not just once a week. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Does the devil work on you every day? So who's going to encourage you? Where are you going to get it? Again, is the world going to encourage you? No. Who's going to encourage you? So you need those relationships with one another outside of Sunday morning, that where you've got people to talk to, people who can encourage you, people who can help you, people who will care about you, people who will hold you accountable, all those things. And that's why the family is so important and why God has us do that. We need to actively live out our faith every day. Okay, and because hopefully we're growing every day, not just once a week. Okay, there's a kind of a spiritual gauge. This is the best gauge I could come up with. So, okay, well, it wasn't the best gauge I could come up with, but anyway. I think we can have a spiritual gauge. If you want to know How are you really spiritually minded or not? If you really want to know that, then think about who are you closest to? Who do you like to spend the most time with? Who are your closest friends? And that'll tell you something about where you are spiritually. If your closest friends are spiritually minded and wanting to be like Christ, then you're probably spiritually minded. But if your closest friends are not spiritually minded, and that's who you like to spend time with, then that probably means you're not that spiritually minded. Doesn't mean you can't change it or whatever, because you can change your friends. But if you want to be spiritually minded, then pick spiritually minded friends. Okay? And that's a pretty good gauge of how you're, whether you're really working and trying to become more and more like Christ and are interested in spiritual things. A good question for you, are you part of a life group, life talk, a small group? Because it's a lot easier, it's pretty difficult to develop some close relationships in a crowd. You have to kind of get off into a smaller group or one-on-one. And so life talks are a great way to do that because they're a small group and you can get to know those people a lot more and a lot more intimately, and you can find some really good friends and people who can who'll know more about you here. You probably don't know everybody in this group, okay? I hope you know, maybe know them, but you're not going to have a close relationship with everybody. You can't do it. But you can have a close relationship with some in the group. And so that's what you need. And so you find those people, and Life Talk is a good way to do that and to help you. If all you do is attend Sunday morning and you're not engaged with other Christians during the week, you are a mere spectator and will likely go away and die spiritually. They've done research. If you don't form four close relationships in the church, in the family, you will go away from the church. That's the research they found. If you don't form at least four close relationships, you'll eventually go away. Okay? I work with the guys at His Way, and I see this with them. They want to do better, and they're going to church and all that and everything. But if they graduate, and some of them graduate, and they're wanting to do good, but one of the things that happens is they're going to church, but then they don't keep those relationships, and things in the world happen, and they get drawn away to those things, and the first thing that seems to go is, they stop going to church. They don't have much relationships with people in church, and they're back where they were. That's what happens, because God isn't first, and God's the only solution. And they can figure that out. Their way doesn't work. But that's true for us too. It's the same. It's not any different. My way doesn't work. God's way works, because He's smarter than us. And He knows what's best for us. He wants what's best for us. He's designed what's best for us. And there is good news. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life, for a godly life, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. You got everything you need. So you can't say, I don't have what I need. Yeah, you got it. God provides it for you. And that's encouraging to me. I've got everything I need to have a godly life. So it's kind of, who's it up to? It's kind of up to me, isn't it? Whether I want it or not. But He's provided it for me. In Ephesians 4, we're given a picture of God's plan. Ephesians 4, about verse 12, it talks about God put leaders, for example, in the church to equip the saints for works of service. Okay? So when you're in the family here, you're in there, you've got people here who God has specifically given the responsibility of equipping you, of preparing you to serve other people, to serve as a Christian. Okay? And but also then, and it talks about later with when as the body works together, verse 16, as each part does its work, you're part of the body. What happens if I separate my hand from my body? What's going to happen to my hand? It's going to die, isn't it? Okay, and so if I separate myself from the body, my family here, I'm going to die spiritually. And so it's important for us to have those relationships. And God, that's why God has designed the church as he did, why he's designed it as a body. He uses the term body. So we're all different, aren't we? But we all can work together in the body for what? If this arm wants to go this way and this arm and leg wants to go that way, I'm going to have a problem. Okay? I need to listen to the head, don't I? And the head is Christ in the body. And if I listen to the head, he's going to give me the directions. And so my body can all, and so the body can all work together for the health and the goodness to accomplish what the body needs to accomplish. And so God has given us all of that. And he's provided that. And I've watched as he's changed my life over the last 60 years. And he's done it through some great people who've been in my life, who've influenced me, and I've seen they're a great example, and they've encouraged me. And I've done through people who've talked to me and helped me and worked with me, and God working on me and to help me see things that I just didn't see. I was oblivious to. Okay, and I've watched how God has changed me. Okay, and he'll do the same for you. And he does that through this body. And I'm very thankful for all my brothers and sisters and for the relationship that I have and the fact that I know if something happened to me, if I had a problem, I know the body would be there. This family would be there. I know that. Okay, and I see people out in the world who have all kinds of problems and like they got like, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I don't know anybody that cares about me. And I visited people in the hospital who had absolutely nobody who cared about them. And they were 65 years old and had nobody who even cared about them. Nobody that would even go see them. What a sad thing. But what a great thing he gives us to have a family who will care about us. And I know this congregation here, I've been in a lot of churches, I've preached a lot of places. And this is the most caring church that I've ever been a part of in this day. Just to care about you, they're going to care about you. Even if they don't, you just come in, they're going to care about you. Okay? And so I'm thankful for that. But I hope you understand what the importance of the church, the body, the family is. And we want to encourage you to be part of it. If you're not a Christian, guess what? We're always looking for new members. Okay, God is always looking to add you to his body, to his family. He wants everyone saved, and we do too. And if we can help you as to become a Christian or